Hello, Tony. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks. You?
I'm good, thank you. Yes.
Yeah, the seasons are changing, and from not taking your dog out in the middle of the day and all the hot weather and stuff, and dogs sort of getting rather, what's the word, lethargic, I think, with the hot weather. Things are changing. It's cooling down a bit, and well, we're getting a bit of rain, we're getting a bit of wind. We're also getting lots of things on the floor, so you've got to mind out when you take your dog for a walk, I do believe.
Yes, I mean it's extremely different, and suddenly it's getting dark, isn't it? Very,
Yeah.
yeah. I mean, it wasn't that long ago we were saying don't take your dogs out, but now you can. Yes, at the moment there's everything seems to be falling on the floor at the moment, and they call it a mast year, don't they? Which is so it's we're inundated with acorns
Just seems
and.
to be a lot this year.
Yes, I think it's every 10 years or something. This mast year, I think either. It's something's all lined up with something, or it is just every 10 years or so you get this massive crop of fruits of the forest, which are acorns, sweet chestnuts, horse chestnuts. I don't know if the mushrooms come under fruits of the forest heading, but basically it's an overload of all these things. It's like walking on ball bearings some days with all the acorns. It's unbelievable,
Very
but
crispy.
it is very crispy. The thing to be aware, and we've already had problems with this, is because of the acorns, one of our dogs we've only had since February, and there weren't many acorns then. And of course, it's a new thing for her, and she does like picking things up in her little mouth and seeing what they taste like, etc. So we've got this problem, which is she seems to have gone through it now, but picking acorns up and trying to eat them is not a good idea. They are toxic to dogs. Even so much so that because there are so many of these acorns being dropped at the moment, some of the livestock are being moved out of certain areas where they would ordinarily be grazing because they're getting upset tummies, and it's just not doing them any favours because they're. And I should think that they're probably drawn to them, but in small amounts for livestock, it'd be right. But for dogs, no. But don't turn it into a drama. If your dog suddenly starts picking up acorns and just suddenly looks at you and goes crunch, don't, for goodness sake, run towards it with your arms windmilling, telling it to drop it and leave it and shout at it. Just very casually either call it over to you and then distract it. Even if you try and keep opening the dog's mouth and taking bits out the dog's mouth, dogs. They do take exception to that. Certain breed types, as they get older, gun dogs are very used to having things put in their mouth and taken out their mouth, and it's absolutely fine. Terriers are a little bit less obliging. It's mine. What's in my mouth stays in my mouth. I mean, I was a
Yeah,
terrorist,
fingers
so
in a
that,
terrorist
yes.
mouth in a terror in a terrorist
Terrorist. Yes, I said
in
it,
a
didn't I?
terror You
Terrorist.
got me at it now. Fingers
Sorry.
in a terror what's the word?
Terrier.
Terrier, that's the one. Fingers in a terrier's mouth, not a good thing anyway, I would think. They have sharp pin-like teeth, and you're likely to get your fingers skewered a bit.
They do. I mean, they do have very sharp little teeth, and also you have to tell them what you're doing as well. You can't just sort of lunge towards them, ratchet open their mouth and start fishing around for bits because most dogs would object. I mean, it's probably only Labradors that would just go all silly and not object to it. But so just be careful. If they start eating stuff, don't turn it into a drama because the more you draw attention to these things, it's like horse poo and everything like that. The more you draw attention just gets worse, and then they just look for things to eat. So, and equally with your with the conkers, the horse chestnuts and the sweet chestnuts. Now, the sweet chestnuts, if you pick them up and take them home and cook them appropriately, you can give those to your dogs. We had some yesterday and the girls love them, but again, they're high carbohydrate, so part of their calorie controlled diet if you do give them, and not many, just a little taste.
No.
And you've got to cook them appropriately and peel them. They can't have any of the furry bit left on. Literally peel them right down to the nut
We'll have to get
inside.
Wendy's recipe for horse chestnuts for
They're
dogs, I think, really, for that
lovely.
one.
Oh.
I was going to say the other thing with this, of course, is not to be too alarmed, because most dogs, very clever that they are, instinctively know what not to eat, don't they?
Well, do you know? Yes, and before talking to you today, I was thumbing through poisons and things as you do, and I thought, well, fingers crossed and touching wood, over the years, you know, they it's very alarmist. You can go on to some of these dog sites and even sort of some of the main sites like Battersea and stuff, which do a sterling job to help people out. But it can be terribly alarmist when you look, and virtually everything you look at or touch or walk past is highly toxic and dangerous to your dog. And it can put, you know, it can put you in a bit of a blue fit, really. But I've never, so far to date, had a dog that has gorged itself on anything toxic, because exactly as you say, they do have some sort of sense within them. I mean, they do silly things. Puppies do silly things, and it does depend on how you deal with it and what you were doing in the first place. If you were out gardening and putting loads of bulbs in and your dog was watching you, puppy or otherwise, if it was a new dog or a puppy, do expect your dog to go out and dig it all up and try to eat them. But so long as you're sensible over it. So the latest thing with our foxhound is she's rolling in mushrooms.
Oh,
you think, yes.
Well,
why?
Rolling's one thing and mushrooms is another, really, isn't it?
Really? I mean, and these are mushrooms that have now, because the mushroom season is sort of going over, and these are mushrooms that are on the manky side.
Oh.
And the smell.
I was going to say, it's not going to smell nice, that, is it?
It's not. And again, you know, if they've got these big old long snouts that they stick in every nook and cranny, I would be aware of, because obviously all these mushroom spores and stuff like that, I'd be aware to, you know, not let your dog... I mean, they do. I know they do. But just be aware of stuff like that. You don't want to be sniffing up too many old bits of old mushroom up your nostrils.
No.
But this latest charmer just seems to lie upside down in them and roll.
Yeah, well, rolling is one of those things. I've always wondered how on earth you stop your dog from rolling. But there's nothing quite like a bit of a animal instinct for, oh, that smells nice, I'm going to roll in it. I mean, there's plenty of dogs that do that. And I don't think there's any method of actually stopping them, is there?
It's a difficult one because they it's normally a type of, it's a characteristic breed type, but not breed type, it's an emotional characteristic within the dog. So it is, a lot of it is about rank. I mean, they do smell rank at the end of it, but it is about rank within the dog. So again, likewise, we've had a host of dogs and only a small handful, and you know exactly the type that are going to do it.
Yeah, well, I say Archie likes to roll in things, but I'm not sure that he's discovered the delights or such of mushrooms yet. Mm. Fortunately, hopefully he won't. One thing I'm not sure whether he quite likes or not, he's never really sort of played up too much to, is fireworks, because that's one of the other things that's coming our way, apart from the things falling off of trees. You're going to get the odd thing falling out of the sky that was alight and went bang at some point. And, it's a case of, well, look after your dogs at firework time, isn't it, really?
Well, it is, and the trouble is, in Sussex, it seems to be firework time. I mean, in other parts of the country, it is just the 5th of November, isn't it? But it seems to be, it starts so early, and it goes right across the weeks and beyond. So last night, I think we had some, and no doubt there'll be some.
Well, of course, Sussex is famous for bonfire, and around London, of course, there are just many, many displays that go on, and some people are brave enough to take their dog to a firework display. I did once. A very large a large English Mastiff went with me and just sat there and looked around, but other dogs, they all just bark the house down in fear.
Yes,
of,
it's not
of them, and it's not something that is easily dealt with.
No, it's not something I would do, and I give the dog the opportunity, if it wants to go into the garden and sit and watch and listen to ones on the horizon or whatever. I'd never take a dog to an event. We've been to events before now where some of the fireworks have gone a bit rogue, and instead of going up in the air, they've gone horizontally, and there's been a couple of hoo-has. So I would never put a dog through that, because obviously it's incredibly loud for them.
Yeah.
The dogs that are very nervous about it, you just really need to deal with those. Again, if you've got a young dog that's never, if it's your first dog this year, and it will be, you know, if you've got it at the beginning of the year, it'll be at least 6-8 months already. So it might not be fearful. Sort of over the age of sort of 8 months, the fear things start subsiding. But if it's any younger, you do need to sort of be aware they could be very nervous. Now, the trick is you don't cuddle them and say, they're there, it's okay. Go about your business as normal, as normally as you possibly can. So ideally, put the telly on, turn it up a bit more, shut the curtains, or maybe leave the curtains open so they can see. One of our trainers, she hoovers and dances because her dog has been notoriously worried by over the years, and so for many years she's been hoovering and dancing, and it's all been fine. So there's lots of things you can do, but again, like anything, if it's the first time ever, don't turn it into a drama. Just ignore the dog totally. Don't look, don't touch, don't talk to the dog. Mm. And there's other things you can get. If you've got an old timer that is already nervous, again, remember, some breed types get nervous as they get older. Again, terrorists are quite good at this one. They tend to get a bit nervy as they get older. Terriers, I've done it again. Anyway, so you can get something called a thunder shirt. That would help. You can buy those online. You might even be able to hire them from a local pet rescue. They're quite good. Again, we tend to put the lead on and actually just do some training commands because they've got your attention.
Yeah.
And then their brain is redirected into doing something useful.
That's a good thought. Now, the other one that goes with that is certainly for many people, the worst of the two events, funny, is not the fireworks, because that's outside and some dogs are, say, really take no notice of it. Others, you know, are a little more worried about it. But the thing with Halloween and trick-or-treating is, if you're like our Archie, anybody that comes through the front gate, let alone knock on the front door, and he's barking like hell, and he's up the top of the stairs guarding. And if you've got lots of people out trick-or-treating and knocking on your door, it's a constant bark thing, which does unsettle the dogs.
Yes, and that really is a tricky one. So you can either put a note on the gate or the door or the end of the pavement, or, you know, to please, you know, keep away.
That's kind of encouraging it, though, isn't it, almost?
What, saying keep away, you want, yes, I suppose if it's trick or treat.
Yeah.
It is a very tricky. I mean, where we are, I think we've only probably had it once, and the dogs... Dogs weren't happy about it, because again, it's that thing, it's sort of after hours, so to speak, and there's somebody at the door, and I know the new girl, she wouldn't be at all happy with it, because it sets her into a frightful spin if there's anybody banging on the door. So again, all I would recommend is you put the dog on the lead, and then just have the dog either on a short lead and just do some training with it. I mean, obviously you can't be doing that all evening. Obviously you'd be exhausted. So maybe try and go in another room. But again, if you've got a telly, put the telly up. If there's music, put that up. Redirect the dog. There's other things you can do, so like these brain games. Mm. But some of these dogs are so focused on noises. As I say, I know Rita is. You only have to... try to distract her to do something, and she knows you're up to something, and it's like she's more alert to thinking what should she be aware of. So, but the brain game things are quite good fun. If you've got a Kong, which is one of these rubber sort of dumbbelly shape, teardrop type shape thing, you can put some food in there, and over the months, don't just do it on the night. You know, I think you need to be aware of what can happen. So future-proof your dog in so much as practice throughout the year with certain things. And you can get friends come round and bang on the door late at night. I mean, you might have to invite them in for a drink. Obviously, they're going to keep doing that. But that you can. There's nothing to stop us future-proofing our dogs. And a lot of people don't do that because they just go, oh, my goodness, it's firework night. Oh, my goodness, it's trick-or-treat night. And it's like it never happened before. But if you know what you've got in your house, really be aware. I mean, we had to go away the other weekend because there was going to be a frightful hoo-ha just at the bottom of our garden.
Yeah.
And we thought we just can't do it. So we went camping instead, which was much more fun.
Good idea.
You know, but that's not always open to everyone. And not everybody wants to just go camping. Can you imagine?
The one that I like, I think you showed me this actually, was the egg box.
Have you done it? Have you done it since?
With the treats in. No, we're saving it for a special occasion.
But yes, again, you said they're quite useful things. So the brain game is really get your dog to think. Yeah. So you can either get a Kong or something and put some food in it, less food to start with. So this is one of these things, as I said before, don't just do it on the night. You've got to build up so the dog knows that A, there is food in this particular item, and also how to get it out. And as they get more adept at doing it, you make it more complicated. So the more complicated the game is, the more absorbed they become in it and less likely they are to worry about what's at the door. So if you're doing it as a first off, please don't assume it's really going to work. It's something you've got to build and build. It's a bit like, let's say you were learning to sew or something. And you were only sewing on the night of the bonfire party. You actually wouldn't be so absorbed. But if you were a professional stitcher and you had something to do, you probably wouldn't hear a thing because you would be, you're professional at it. You know what you're doing. You'd be so absorbed. So that's really what I'm saying is, you know, get going to start with. But the egg box game was, and again, that's one of our trainers does that every evening, 9:30, I think it is, and put something in an egg box. And then the dog has to work out how to open the egg box and get said item out.
Or trash the egg box, as the case
may be. Or trash it, which is what happened in class, wasn't it? They bit a hole in the side of the egg box and then flung it about.
Really funny.
There's lots you can do.
Yeah, it's a great little tip, that one. And try it sometime and you'll find out whether it actually works. Wendy, I've got to talk about a couple of other things, because we are running short of time. One of the things that has come up, it was reported fairly recently that incidents of not clearing up after your dog are on the increase. Kind of a quick reminder to anybody that owns a dog, if you go out without the old poo bags, go back home and get them.
Yeah,
because you really shouldn't leave the stuff lying around. I've seen some in the last few days just walking the dog and you think, why can't people pick it up? And then on top of that, they then tie the bag up and just dump the bag somewhere.
I know, it enrages me.
Take it home.
We were talking about that today. We went to a secure field just because it worked for one of my chums. And so we tagged along. And and I still saw poo there and you pick it up. Yeah. And there's all sorts of things to get rid of it. And I fail to understand that if you're going to have a dog, you get a free lifetime of poo. It's a given. So you've got 15 years of your dog. Hopefully you've got 15 years of free poo. All you've got to do is pick it up and dispose of it appropriately. But people, it's like it's not their problem.
Well, it's a disgusting habit, really.
Yeah, I know. And you do find, I know when we were rescue, certain things follow certain patterns. So one of the patterns is sheep chasing, worrying of livestock seems to be worse in school holidays, and that's normally because, given the opportunity to not take the dog out and maybe ask some family members that were at school to take the dog out, thus leaving you a free afternoon, that's what happens. And I think possibly when you're, you know, if there's an incident when the poo is on an increase, certain times of year, if it coincides with school holidays or weekends or whatever, I think it's staring you in the face on two levels. So because if families, when they go out, I mean, who's in charge of the dog?
Yeah.
That's the other thing. You've got to, you know, if you go out as a family, one of you, whoever's got the lead, is in charge of the poo and is in charge of the dog. And don't all assume that somebody else is going to pick it up. And don't just play possum and pretend it didn't poo. No, I mean, generally speaking, dogs only poo a couple of times a day. If they're on appropriate diet, ours poo once a day, twice at an absolute push, and you know when they're going to do it, and they pretty much always go in the garden before.
Well, the tail goes out.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, so, or if you think, keep them on the lead until they poo, and then let them off, having picked the poo up and disposed of it.
Yeah.
Take it home, dispose of it. Do you know what you're meant to do with it? But I'm saddened to hear it's on the increase. But we just don't learn. But these extendable leads, which, as you know, my pet hate.
Yeah, mine too.
They
horrible
are
things.
Oh, they're part of it, because the dog can be 10 foot behind you and you pretend Oh, you didn't see it. So, you know it's going to do. And the other classic is open the boot of the car, let your dog jump out. And we see this happen so often when we go for walks. So you've got car parks where people arrive with their dog, open the boot, and they're putting their boots on, and the dog's run off and is pooing. And it's all, oh, I didn't see it. And you think, shame on these people. They should be shamed.
They should be. I think rant over on that one.
Sorry.
Just clear out. That's all right. No worries. I'm with you on every step of the way.
It just annoys me.
Rant over on that. And I think actually at that point, I was going to talk to you about adopting dogs, but Christmas is coming. So I think it'd be an ideal topic to talk about next month when we talk to you some more about all things canine, Wendy.
Puppies for Christmas. That would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I'll have one. Yeah.
We know the thoughts on puppies for Christmas, but as I say, we will discuss that one another time. Wendy, great to catch up again today.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you for that, and we'll talk to you in a month's time. For now, Wendy, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tony. Bye.